You're now tuned in to the Front Row Hoopcast.
Hello and welcome to the sixth episode of Front Row Hoopcast, your show for everything Butler basketball related. I am your host, Ari Castle. Kevin Schwartz, Marco Tomic, let's get down to business. I have nothing clever to say to either of you today. All right, guys. Princeton game. We were looking forward to this one for a while.
Yes.
Big win, huge win for Butler. This is a game where down the line in February and March, the tournament people are going to be looking at this saying that was a great win. Kevin, standout performance. We all know who it was.
I had to rock the Kellen Dunham jersey today. Huge game. 7 of 14 from the field, 8 of 11 from the free throw line, 26 points, even grabbed 6 boards. The only thing I'm concerned with is he played 35 minutes. He can't continue to do that.
We need him to do that.
I understand that, but you know what? With our back-to-back, or with our game on Tuesday, he's going to be tired. When we go do the Old Spice Classic next week where they play 3 games in a row, there's no way he can do that, and we need him to be that productive in less minutes.
He looked like Kobe last night. Like, he was on another level.
Which happens to be his favorite player. I agree completely with Kevin. I don't think he's the marathon man. He can't be running 35 minutes a game. I mean, we're thinking and hoping that he may even clip 30, but you could just tell he's getting a little bit winded towards the end of the game with how many minutes he played.
My favorite part of it, though, is that he started off slow. He had 3 bad turnovers early, missed shots early, and he worked his way out of it. That's what great players do. They work out of their slumps.
Shooters just got to keep shooting, and that's what he did. He kept shooting because he knew he could make it. He had the confidence, and that's what really stands out to me this year is how much confidence he's having.
My one problem, though, he went 8 from 11 for free throws. For most people, that is good enough. It is not good enough for Kellen Dunham. He needs one miss a game is too much for him. This is one of the best free throw shooters, not just in the Big East, in the country. And he needs to be making them out of high volume every time.
He might need to attend his own clinic. Jeez.
He got fouled hard on a couple occasions and landed on his back, on his arm. You have to think his bell was rung a little bit when he was going to the free throw line. Understandable. Yeah. He missed one big one at the very end of the game. That's where it really matters. But as a team, going 19 for 26, over 70%, that's what we need to see every week. Absolutely. It won us the game yesterday. It kept us extending the lead late in the second half, so when Princeton made their run, we were able to weather it and come home with a victory.
That's really what I think helped us out, because Princeton didn't do that. Early on, we got into foul trouble early. They're in double bonus, I think, with like 10, 12 minutes left in the first half, and a lot of their guys were missing. I mean, I think their center was like had missed 3 or 4 in the first half. That was huge for us.
Yes.
If Kellen Dunham was the lightning bolt, Elijah Brown was the spark.
Yes,
off
was.
The bench. Marco, your J.R. Smith comparison looks absolutely brilliant right now. He is J.R. Smith. And, you know, the thing with Elijah, he takes a lot of shots, a high volume of shots, and a lot of heat checks. We're going to have to live with that, okay? I'm fine with that. But the thing I loved, he had that swagger on the court last night. There was one point after he drained this three. He's, like, walking back down the court just pump faking right in his defender. Oh, my gosh. I was, like, got me pumped up just by seeing him do that. And that's the kind of guy we need on the court.
That's something you don't regularly see from Butler.
Yeah.
I love that confidence, that swagger. It brings a whole new mentality to our team. Like, hey, we're here. We're going to be here for a while. Don't think we're going to be at the bomb because we're coming.
He was 4 for 10 shooting, but it was a good 4 for 10. You can be happy with 40%, especially if his confidence level is at a point where he feels like his next shot is going in.
Yeah.
It's one thing to shoot and miss, whether it's a bad miss or just a miss, and go, I'm not making anything today. It's another when you go, okay, the next one's going in.
Yeah.
And that's what he looked like he was doing. He hit a bunch of big corner threes to extend our lead to double digits at one point, started to get on a roll, attack the basket. We're okay with that. However, he did have 4 fouls. He cannot play defense.
Yes.
Throughout
the years, this is going to be a great player for Butler, but right now his defense is a big issue.
If you notice, Princeton strictly went to him. After he had hit those 2 back-to-back big threes, They ISO'd him in the post and just got babied. I mean, teams are gonna start looking at Elijah as a weak point in our defense, and they will attack.
He was very active with his hands on well on defense, which is good if you know what you're doing. But he's got a lot of maturity issues on that side of the ball, and he kept just swiping at it and putting his hands on people. Same thing with Devontae Morgan. Yeah. In his minutes, all he did was grab somebody on their first step and then let go and pretend like it wasn't a foul. But we all know it was, which is why they both spent a lot of time on the bench.
Last game, the star was Kyle Marshall. This game against Princeton, 4 points, 4 rebounds. That's not good enough.
No.
And who says he's going to get a double-double in the Big East, it's very discouraging, this kind of game.
Absolutely. Kyle looked like he didn't play hard. There was real no effort there. Didn't look to shoot. He only took, four shots in 32 minutes or something like that. Did not attack the boards. I think, was it Devontae that stole a board from him?
Yeah.
They both went up, and Kyle was way up in the air, and Devontae just said, give me that, and took it from him. Like, that's the kind of things that he needs to do better. If he puts in the effort, he will be productive. We know that. But when's it going to come? When's it going to click that every game is a big game? Every game he needs to make an impact.
It looked like Princeton had kept the air marshal a little bit landed, but he was having some clutch hustle plays. I mean, that dive when he tipped the ball up to Kellen McKee, run it, and that when he ran out of bounds and saved it, he had the hustle plays. Just if he could do a little bit more and be a little bit more aggressive, that would have been more ideal. Because like you said, he was just letting other people take rebounds for him. That cannot happen.
Cam Woods, though, was taking care of his rebounding business.
In the second
half. Double for him. In the 11 points, half. 10 boards.
I mean, the first half, he only played 7 minutes. He played less than Shrabis and Jackson and just one more minute than Navante. I don't really know what Brandon Miller was doing right there.
25 minutes for Cam Woods, especially with a night this productive, it doesn't really make sense. Kyle wasn't playing well. So if Kyle's not playing well, then why not throw Cam in there for more?
The last big we need to talk about is Eric Fromm. He had 10 points, and this is the kind of night we need him to have. Yep. He missed a couple threes, but that's fine, okay? They were good shots to take. He's not going to – if he misses them consistently like that, we're going to have a problem, but it was a good game for him. We need him to be that guy who produces as well.
When he takes those shots, he spreads out the defense. Mm-hmm. He forces them to cover him at the three-point line. He was 2-for-7 from the field, but that's – you know, even though it's a little bit of an off night, you can't be too worried about it. The other thing I want to point out is his stat sheet doesn't reflect the type of game he played. He was solid on help defense. There are a lot of times where he screened players in the post to get Elijah or anybody going to the rim an open layup, set great screens to open up a wide open shot, things like that you don't really see just by being a basic fan, but we noticed that.
Yeah.
And that is what Eric Fromm brings to the team more so than anything else. Leadership and being able to be smart enough to be in the right place at the right time.
Our entire team defense looked better than it has in the past. Absolutely. A lot of steals. The fouling was just a monstrosity. I think that's just the new handshake rules. We're going to have to see how consistently that gets called. Moving on now. Last week, as you may recall, we mentioned we had a controversial point about Rene Castro. Gained a lot of attention on the Butler recruiting boards, on Twitter. People said we were incorrect. Second game happened, and the exact same thing happened, and we have the proof to show you. We have some pictures that we happen to take showing that Rene looked very uninterested in that game.
I think Rene is going to start to see that he needs to push himself a little bit more. I think he's going to buy in. Give it time. Give it time. Give him some practices, give him a little bit of tough love from Brandon Miller, and I think Rene's going to stick it out. I mean, I wouldn't be very happy playing 1 minute and having one missed shot. I mean, that's not...
It was a bad 1 minute, though.
Yeah, it was...
He gave up 4 points and one foul.
And one bad shot.
Hey, if you ask any basketball player, especially from our team that has gained playing time, that it's the toughest thing to do is to come off the bench late because you're cold from warm-ups, you're not really energetic, you can't be too much into the game. It's tough to try and come
on. Hold on. His minute last night was in the middle of the second half. It was not a garbage time.
Yeah, this was big time.
And he came in and looked like, why am I out here now?
It's tough.
They tried to give him a chance.
He came out of nowhere.
If he would have not played so poorly in 60 seconds, he would have probably stayed out there.
And the funny thing is, a month ago, we had heard rumblings about this, and I think I was hesitant to believe it. Fast forward to now, we've heard, it turns out to be true.
I mean,
it's not encouraging.
It's not. It really isn't. Right now, it's just disappointing to see how things have played out so far.
Also, big news this week. Butler officially signed its two-man class for the class of 2014, Keelan Martin and Tyler Weidman. We talked about Keelan a couple weeks ago. Averaged 19 points and 10 rebounds his past year of high school. Player comparison I gave him was Draymond Green from Michigan State. Super versatile guy. Does a little bit of everything. Scores in every way possible. And strong body. This dude is muscular. He's going to do some work in the Big East. He's a Big East player. Kevin, what do you think?
I kind of compared him to Jay Crowder from Marquette.
Oh.
And the reason I say that is Keelan's a little undersized. Crowder's not the most athletic guy either. They can both step out and hit the outside shot. They've got a decent mid-range. They can be powerful in the post when they've got a defender that's their size or smaller on them. They handle the ball well. They can go to the rack. They finish through contact. He's going to be a great player for Butler. Who knows if he's got the potential to be an NBA player. Crowder's having an okay career. Hasn't been great, but he was a fantastic college player. I think it's a great, you know, comparison.
Yeah. I think I compared him to an early Amari Stoudemire. Probably like Phoenix Suns there. He can run the floor. He's kind of athletic. He can step out, hit a nice jump shot. He can also be tough down low, pull down the rebounds, do what you really want in a versatile post player kind of.
Okay, I'm going to respect the comparison, but let's. He's not Amari Stoudemire. I don't know what the hell you're talking about.
Why isn't he? Give me a point why he's not.
Amari Stoudemire is also a huge guy and has, like, incredible post moves.
Huge guy. He's actually not that big. He's a smaller post player. He's around 6'9", 6'10". 6'10 is usually...
Yeah, it's Keelan Martin is 6'6 on a good day.
6'7 on a good day.
Where do you think he's going to play? I see him as a 3 more than a 4.
In Butler's system, there's no direct, like, 3-4 position. He's going to be just a guy who can down low and... Like, what Eric Fromm does now. He can go down low but pop out.
I just feel like, in seeing the hints, the highlight tapes of Keelan... He has to be able to work on his defense on the perimeter.
Yeah.
If he's going to be playing the three, because I really think that's a better spot for him with his game, and it'll give him a lot of good matchups on the offensive end, he has to be able to guard somebody who can handle the ball, who's going to try and cross over and go to the rack. We know he can play defense in the post. We know that he's a decent shot blocker, but he's got to be able to guard somebody out there.
Footwork is definitely going to be a key point to try and guard those perimeter players. And with the Big East, people are going to be as big as he is at the three and just as athletic, so he does need to work on
his defense. All right, Tyler Wideman, went to same high school as him. This man is huge. He is like, he cannot fit through a doorway. He is so muscular. He has to turn sideways to get through the doors. Averaged 15 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, and 2 blocks at Lake Central. And I compared him to DeJuan Blair of the... Is he still on the Spurs?
He's in Dallas, I believe.
Oh, is he? All right. Tyler Wideman is going to eat up so much space in the Big East. This is a guy who Butler has not had. Someone who can just take up a ton of room. Think of Devontae Gardner. Just takes up a ton of space, except Weidman's much more athletic than him. He's also a great passer, Wideman is. He can make some nice passes down low in the post. What do you think? You've seen him play.
I've seen him play plenty of times throughout high school, playing with other star players. He's not one that constantly needs the ball. I've seen him play with Glenn Robinson III. Ari said, big guy, takes up a lot of space, can be a shot blocker. I've seen him send back some kids' stuff. I mean, he is a big guy. He has been trimming down a little bit to become more athletic. He's trying to work on his outside game a little bit, but he can pull down boards. He can be aggressive. I've seen him take on double teams, but granted, this is not from college-level players who will carry on their career. He can be good, and I think he's what Butler has been missing, that big guy in the middle that can really establish himself.
Known fact, reason I wore this shirt today, took a look at the picture of Tyler Wideman signing his letter of intent, and notice what shirt he's wearing. I'm just so good like
that. Yeah,
but
he didn't shop in the kids section.
Wow, okay, that was funny. I think it's time to turn to our friend at the Indy Star, Zach Kiefer, for this week's edition of Kiefer's Question.
All right, guys, my question this week. Butler signed 2 recruits this Wednesday. How much will joining the Big East impact their recruiting in the future?
Good question, Zach. I think the move to the Big East, in terms of what we need more athletic, better players. Okay, Horizon League days, we recruited Horizon League players. A-10, A-10 players. We need to get those top-notch players, though, those highly ranked players that we have not been getting these past few years. I think that's the biggest difference. Kevin, what do you think?
The talent level that's going to actually listen to us is going to be vastly improved. The Big East is known for putting out pro players. You know, Butler's system might not be, but you look at what Gordon Hayward's doing and even Shelvin Mack.
Double last night.
And his limited minutes is playing well.
Oh, yeah.
There's going to be an opportunity here to be successful on a national stage. We're going to start seeing more 4 and 5 star recruits with interest putting us in their final couple spots.
I mean, that's what we need is those 4- and 5-star recruits putting us in those spots, because just the low, finding those diamonds in the rough that turn out to be those Gordon Haywards that can just shine in the NBA and just take off, that's going to be tough. We're going to start need pulling on regularly. Those people are going to be able to, can turn out and become maybe future NBA players or overseas players. That's going to be the big difference. And I think we're going to be more of a thought, because not only can we be a great athletic program that turns them into men, like Kevin said, but we also have the educational value that their parents are looking to love.
It is important to remember, people who are expecting us next year to be getting these 5-star guys, it's not going to happen. No. This is a process, okay? Give Brandon Miller some time. Give the coaches some time to get these guys, and they will deliver if you give them time.
It takes time to develop those bonds with those players. Mm-hmm. I mean, once the player feels safe and he feels like he knows you and he can talk to you, and the players around that are in the program already, that's when they're going to buy in.
All right. Zach, what do you think?
This is a huge thing for Butler. You know, Brad Stevens, before he left, said the biggest thing was when you're in the Big East, that means a kid's going to pick up the phone. So a kid that usually wouldn't answer the phone when Butler's calling, now he's going to answer the phone. That's going to get them in with a lot more kids earlier. I know Butler's hitting the recruiting trail really hard with 2015, 16, and 17 kids. They signed 2 really good power forwards on Wednesday, and I think it'll be a huge boost down the line. You're not going to see the results this year or next year per se, but 5-10 years from now, you're going to see a lot of better players.
Thank you, Zach. Please give him a follow on Twitter, @ZKiefer. Great source for Butler knowledge. I think it's time for everyone's favorite segment, Tomich's Tweets.
Tomich's Tweets.
Marco, what's your tweet?
Today's Tomich's Tweets is, it's about time Butler got a number 5 who could shoot, coming from Ronald Norrett. Speaking of the Elijah Brown special delivery, popping off in his hot spot, his delivery spot there in the corner, which is what I like to see from Elijah, finding them open shots, just being able to find his place.
They are such different players.
I know, right?
That is unbelievable. Oh. I applaud Ron for throwing in some humor there. His family was actually at the game last night. Mm-hmm. It was good to see them back in Hinkle. We wish he would have been able to attend as well. And I'm sure he's doing great things with the Celtics and their development program. But Elijah's the complete opposite. Ron was one of the best defenders.
No offense.
He turned the ball over, but also made some pretty nice passes. Could not shoot. Elijah's a great scorer. Can't pass. Can't defend. Different impacts, but they're both going to be go down as some of Butler's greatest players when they're done.
I think that's all we got for today. We would like to give a special shout-out to Stay Positive Bands. If you do not already have them, please contact Eric Day at Butler. Go to their website. Go to their Twitter. It's a great cause for cancer research. There's going to be a special Stay Positive night at Hinkle coming up on January 25th, so look forward to that. And please, just get involved. It's a really great cause.
We will see you Tuesday night against Vandy, another big one.
Yes,
another
resume builder.
Get your tickets for that one, too.
All right, guys. For Kevin Schwartz, Marco Tomich, I am Ari Castle. IU sucks. Go Dogs.
Go Dogs.
Da-na-na-na-na.
B-U. Bang!